Good evening, and welcome to the Safilo Group's H1 Q2 2019 results. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary, even significantly, to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Angelo Trocchia, Chief Executive Officer, Dirk Graeser, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Mr. Dirk Graeser, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Graeser, you may begin.
Good evening, and thank you for attending today's conference call on Safilo's first half 2019 results. As done in May, I will give you very briefly a couple of important introductory topics which are necessary in order to clarify the way in which we treat and analyze our performance in this first semester, and consequently for the rest of the year. First of all, let me remind you that on July 1st, we closed and finalized the transaction to sell the Solstys retail operations, which are out of our perimeter for the entire second half of the year. As done when analyzing our Q1 results, we look at and comment on our Q2 and H1 performance with reference to our continuing operations, thus excluding the discontinued retail business. Full information on this is provided to you in the annexes of the presentation, and let me here just highlight that the impact of the Solstys retail operations on our H1 total activities equaled a loss of 26.2 million euros, of which 17 million emerged from the asset disposal itself, slightly below the impact we had anticipated in our press release in May, while 9.2 euros was the net loss of the chain in the period. Before handing over to Angelo for the highlights of our continuing operations, my last reminder to you is that our comments are given on the results before the impacts deriving from the first adoption of the new standard IFRS 16 on the semester 2019. As already explained in May, we elected to implement the new standard, applying the modified retrospective approach, whereby the cumulative effect of adopting the standard has been recognized at its relevant effective date on January 1st, 2019, without the restatement of 2018 comparative information. The table provided in slide four shows you the impacts, detailed by continuing and discontinued operations on H1 2019 consolidated statements of income and net financial position. Just looking at the continuing operations, you can see that we have a material impact in terms of EBITDA, 7 million euros, which benefits from the reduction of operating rental expenses as the majority of the current operating rental cost is now presented as a depreciation of right-of-use assets and interest expenses on the lease liabilities. This becomes a minor positive at the EBIT level for the increase of the depreciation expenses and a minor negative at the net level, the net result level, due to the increase in interest expenses. IFRS 16 had a total impact on the group net debt of 73.5 million euros for the increase of lease liabilities, of which it is important to highlight that 38 million pertain to the discontinued retail operations, thus disappearing from our total group net debt with the deconsolidation of retail. I stop here and hand over to Angelo.
Thanks to you, Dirk, and good evening to all of you. The results we achieved in the first six months of 2019 show a positive sales progression, with our continuing operation growing by 6.5% at current exchange rate and 3.9% at constant exchange rate. The performance of the second quarter was solid. Sales growth accelerate as we had somewhat anticipated when commenting the positive start of the period recorded in April. The Q2 growth overall has been by 9.7% at current exchange rate and 7.4% at constant exchange rate. This was very much behind the acceleration posted by our own core brands and some of the main licensed brand across all our key geographical areas. Certainly in Europe, but more meaningfully, we saw a return to a small growth in North America, taking the performance of the first six months into positive territory. I'm very, very happy about the results of North America. We saw positive momentum also in emerging markets, where the significant progress in Asia Pacific was accompanied by the recovery of the Latin America area. From a profitability standpoint, we are pleased with the evolution of our gross and operating margins, which continue to benefit from efficiencies and savings in cost of goods sold and from all the actions we have put in place to reduce the overhead expenses. The pre-IFRS 16 adjusted EBITDA of our continuing operation was up by 12.9% in the first 6 months, after recording a plus 25% in the second quarter compared to the corresponding period of the last year. I think it's important to underline as a reminder that Q2 and H1 18 included an accounting compensation for Gucci of 9.8 and 19.5 million euro respectively. So clearly, 2019 underlying performance called for a much more significant recovery. A positive economic performance, which together with our working capital dynamic, has allowed us to return to a positive free cash flow after 2 years of cash absorption. So in H1 2019, we had a positive generation of 10.4 million euro, which in turn lead to a record low group net debt at the end of June of 3.9 million euro and a financial leverage of 0.1 times. Also in this case, we are quoting our net debt position pre-IFRS 16. Let me go now in more detail of the sales performance of our continuing operation, focus on what happened in the second quarter. As said, Q2 net sales were up 9.7% to 248.6 million euro, benefiting of 2.3 positive Forex impact, mainly related to the US dollar appreciation. At constant exchange rate, excluding the production agreement with Kering, as expected, substantially stable in the period, our wholesale business was up by 7.5%, thanks to a strong performance by our sunglass business recovering from last year's weak trend. I'm particularly pleased to outline the double-digit growth recorded in the period by our own core brand, Carrera, Smith, and Polaroid, a good performance which was driven in particular by Carrera and supported by the continuing positive momentum of Polaroid and Smith. It was indeed a positive quarter also from some of our main licensed brands, namely Dior, Boss, Tommy, and Max Mara. Looking at our best performing channels, I would like to outline the overperformance of our travel retail channel, as well as the ongoing development of our e-commerce business through internet pool player and through our Smith e-commerce. First half sales were up 6.5% to 495.9 million euros, with the wholesale business at constant exchange rate up by 4.1%. The total performance of Carrera, Polaroid and Smith in H1 2019 was positive around 8% at constant exchange rate. If we look now to our geographies, and starting from our biggest region, Europe, our continuing operation reached there 121.7 million euro in the second quarter, reporting a plus 4.5% or 4.8% at constant exchange rate. In H1, Europe represented close to 50% of our total sales, up 2.6% reporting 3.0% at constant exchange rate, and plus 3.3% excluding the production agreement. Back to Q2, sales growth was pretty broad-based, higher in the countries more impacted by the contraction in sunglasses sales experienced in the second quarter of last year, namely Italy, France, and Spain. In Europe, I would like to mention the ongoing positive performance of Polaroid, growing very consistently on some. In line with the plan we presented last year with regards to our own core brands, we are focusing our investments on key projects and in key and fewer markets in a locally relevant way and in a locally relevant execution mode. If we refer to Polaroid, Polaroid is today a clear and good example of how we are executing what last time we have defined our global approach, investing in fewer relevant countries with endorsement of local celebrities relevant both for consumer and customer, and using digital more and more, any kind of digital channel to create content and to build a brand awareness through a different rules of engagement with the final consumer. Year to date, these projects are paying out, with more to go following up and our latest best practice, like the ambassadorship of the Italian rapper and showman Fedez in Italy, and for the second year by the Spanish journalist Sara Carbonero, but also project of exclusive Polaroid SKU in the global retail channel, like Dufry in its main airport. It is worth mentioning that the Italian Polaroid campaign with Fedez has been selected as the best Instagram campaign in Italy for the month of May by Facebook Italia and Engage.it readers. Let's move now to North America, where our revenue stood at 80.6 million euro in the second quarter, up 8.4% on the reported basis, benefiting from a 5.7% positive effect from the appreciation of the US dollar. At constant currency, our wholesale business was back to small growth at 2.7%, that for us is meaningful as it represents a first important step in the right direction. As you know, Steve Wright is running the show there, and I think Steve, with all the American team, I think they are doing the right steps to move the North America business in the right direction. Compared to Q1, our performance continue to be positive and very supportive for our Smith sport business, as well as for our wholesale business in Canada, driven by very positive trends, in particular for Hugo Boss and Kate Spade. In the U.S., sales recovery was driven by the positive trend recorded in chain, as well as by a more stable performance in department store. Trading in the Frios channel improved quarter on quarter, but as said during our call in May, work is going on to recover and the sustainable and agile business model in the channel, moving in the same direction, but still a work to grow. For reference, Q2 underlying performance in North America, excluding the terminated Celine and Bobby Brown business from the base period, was plus 4% at constant exchange rate. In the period, outperforming brand in the most important consumer segment of the region, the fashion contemporary, were Carrera and Tommy Figure. White is also worth mentioning the positive reception from the market of the Regenbold brand. North America sales were back to grow in the first 6 months, up 7.8% at current exchange rate, 1% at constant exchange rate, or 2.8% on an underlying basis, excluding the terminated sales. Let me take this opportunity to look at how, also in the case of Carrera, we are executing a global approach, developing digital strategies and focusing investment in key markets. Among all, I would like to outline a couple of examples, the Carrera Formula One activation following our multi-year sponsorship agreement with Alfa Romeo Racing, and Gumball 3000 event sponsoring that generated a great PR buzz, raising brand awareness and effective trade and social media engagement. Leveraging on the global Alfa Romeo Racing sponsorship, several countries boosted Carrera visibility and at the same time engaged with top customers and activated many consumers. We can mention as an example the 360 activation around the Canada Grand Prix in Montreal last June. Many initiatives ran in parallel. A Carrera pop-up store was custom built at the race marketplace, digital out-of-home advertising in downtown Montreal. So a really 360 degree, which is playing around the race, but is really trying to activate as much as possible the consumer around the Carrera brand. Gumball 3000 is another big initiative where I've seen Carrera playing there. It's one of the world's largest live annual events, and it's combining success for cars, music, action, sport, and celebrity culture all around an approximately 3,000-mile-long road trip that, since its first edition, has been traveling through 50 countries and capital cities in front of thousands of fans and attracting thousands of people around the event. For this occasion, Carrera presented two limited edition style, Carrera Glory and Carrera Hyperfit, which were on an exclusive pre-sale at Selfridge London and from June 7th. And Carrera worked on and on the Carrera.com. Moving to our emerging markets, so let's go back to the geography. In the second quarter, our Asian Pacific region reached 25.7 million euros, up 41.6% on a reported basis and 36.2% at constant exchange rate, confirming and further accelerating the positive business momentum recorded in the first quarter. Key driver of this strong recovery are again our travel retail business, Greater China, and the positive development of Smith and Marc Jacobs in Australia. In the first semester, Asia Pacific grew to represent 8.8% of our total continuing business from 7% in the same period last year, up 33.7% at current rate and 27.9% at constant forex. The second quarter saw also a promising recovery in our rest of the world, which grew by 16.2% reported and 14% at constant exchange rate, taking back to a slight positive also the performance of the region in the first half of the year, up 2% at current, 0.8% at constant rate, to a total of 36.7 million euro. Key positive drivers were in particular two markets, Brazil and Mexico, where our new commercial organization is working well, reactivating key customers to speed up penetration of our core brands. Also in this case, Carrera, Hugo Boss, and Tommy were our top performers. I stop here and hand over to Gerd for additional outline on the more economical and financial performance.
Thank you, Angelo. Let's then get to the drivers of our operating performance, starting from the results we achieved at the gross profit level. These were very supportive. Operations at the cost of goods sold level improved compared to the same quarter of last year and sequentially on the previous quarter of the year. Second quarter 2019, gross profit reached 136 million euros, up 14.7% versus Q2 2018, and with the margin on sales up 240 basis points to 54.7%. As we saw in Q1, the industrial performance of the period reflected a solid stream of production volume, supporting in turn our projects of plant efficiencies, which continue to materialize very well. Sales mix was again a positive contributor to our performance, while we had 30 basis points negative effects from foreign exchange. In half year one, the gross profit of our continuing operations increased 11% to 266.2 million euros, or 53.7% of sales, up 220 basis points in the first half. As already highlighted in this first semester, Gucci production volumes were pretty much stable compared to last year, and its dilution effect on our gross margin also remained stable at around 300 basis points. Now, before moving to our adjusted EBITDA performance, I will highlight the non-recurring items which impacted our reported operating and net results. These equaled 255.4 million euros, a significant amount mainly reflecting the non-cash impairment of $227.1 million, representing the entire goodwill on our balance sheet. This resulted from the impairment test that we run for the purpose of our semi-annual financial statements, taking into account the most recent market portfolio and competitive context for the company. In the same exercise, we also wrote down deferred tax assets for 23.3 million euros, while we incurred non-recurring expenses of 5 million euros, mainly related to the group's cost-saving and restructuring projects. Going to our adjusted EBITDA, in the second quarter, our gross operating profit grew by 25%, reaching 17.7 million euros or 7.1% on sales, taking H1 adjusted EBITDA to 34.2 million or 6.9% of sales. This represents a significant underlying operational improvement, which was achieved thanks to the already commented positive impact of sales growth and product supply efficiencies, plus further progress at the operating expenses level, mainly thanks to overhead savings. These improvements year to date allowed us to overbalance the other income of 9.8 million and 19.5 million we booked respectively in Q2 and H1 2018 as accounting compensation for the Gucci anticipated exit. Overhead cost savings totaled 9 million euros in the first half of 2019, whereas our marketing investments in Encore brands actually increased by around 3 million euros in the period as we invest in the activities to grow them. Further down our P&L, some additional items to mention are stable depreciation and amortization of 21.3 million euros, thus their lower incidence on sales, the net interest expenses decreasing by more than 40% to 2.5 million euros thanks to the significantly lower average debt, and exchange rate differences which were flattish compared to their negative 2.8 million impact in H1 of 2018. All this further contributed to the positive net adjusted result of the period, which equaled 8.7 million euros against an adjusted loss of 4.3 million in the first half of 2018. Moving to the financial highlights of the group total operations in the first half of 2019, always before IFRS 16. It is mainly thanks to the significant improvement of the underlying economic performance that we recorded a positive free cash flow of 10.4 million euros. On the other two important fronts, we had favorable working capital dynamics with a generation of 11.2 million euros, mainly thanks to a decrease in inventories and an increase in payables, while cash flow for investments totaled 15.8 million euros. The latter were devoted to our product supply for molds and machineries and our latest new logistics center in Denver, as well as the ongoing rollout of new ICT. Our total group net debt at the end of June 2019, pre-IFRS 16, stood at 3.9 million euros, a record low for Safilo, resulting from the remaining proceeds received on the 2nd of January and equal to 17.7 million euros from the share capital increase executed in 2018 and the positive free cash flow just commented. At the end of June, the adjusted financial leverage decreased to below 0.1x compared to 0.7 times at the end of last year. Over to Angelo for his final remarks.
Yeah, I think it's quite important the second half of the year in this kind of business that we have to deliver in this coming month. So obviously the Q3, the September number are going to be crucial to outline and characterize the full year. The priorities are clear, the plans are set, and now we just need to do it. We aim to see our wholesale business, excluding the production agreement with Kering, consolidating the path of the top line growth achieved in the first half and closing the year with the first step to restore by 2020 an adequate and sustainable level of profitability. As is known, I mean, we have been announcing the closure of the Dior eyewear license by 2020, but I think that as a Safilo, we have the right portfolio, we have the right people, we have the right capabilities, and we remain absolutely committed to building even a stronger Safilo for the future, leveraging on what our competence are, what our unique clarity is, and our people, to even expand more our brand portfolio, which is going to be based, as I said, on our own brands, on a significant and very important number of licenses, on which we have added the latest signed agreement with Levi's, with Missoni, and with David Beckham. We remain fully committed to our 2020 group business plan, aiming to reignite sales growth, focusing on key geographies, brands, and channels, while keep recovering the operating performance enabled by our obsession for cost, which is translated in a very focused cost reduction program. And by the end of the year, as we have already announced, we will present the new plan, which is going to look behind the 2020. Thanks very much, and ready for your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you find your question has already been asked, please press the hash key to remove yourself from the queue. So again, that's star 1 for any questions. The first question for today is from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first is a comment on what are you planning in case of tariffs applied by the U.S. On China from September 1st. That, if I'm not wrong, should include also frames. Second, I would like to have your view on the market environment, so the consumer environment, maybe for so an outlook for the second half in the different regions, because you have been posting more than satisfactory results, and here and there you are commenting quite positively. So I would like to understand if you see this driven by the market conditions or more company specific.
Yeah. I will ask on the second question, then I will leave Gerd to answer to the first one. In terms of consumer, obviously we see that in Hong Kong and in China there is a slowdown of the economy, which we are assuming that somehow will have a little bit of slowdown effect for the H2. Where on the other side, to be honest, we keep seeing a positive trend, and we expect the positive trend to keep going on in Europe and in US. So the main area of concern in this moment is the Asia Pacific area. The reason behind our result is a combination of a positive, I think, in this moment, attitude of the consumer, also help, especially in Italy, in Europe, from a good sun season. But I have to say that is also partially related to two main changes that we have done. One is to get closer and closer to our customer, which I think we have not been close to like this in the past. And second, I think moving to activate some of our brands more and more digitally. And to be honest, we see that where this activation has been done properly, we see a very, very big uplift. So I think we will keep shifting more and more to a sort of social engagement, digital-driven campaign that I think are going to pay back more and more.
Just a follow-up on this topic that is quite interesting. So you are you were mentioning you saying we are shifting. So apart from the well, you were mentioning some increase in marketing costs, but overall, I should look at this in engagement as a shift from the traditional to new media, social media, and digital engagement.
I think it's never black and white. It's like it's never all offline, all online. But by sure, I think that we see that the most successful activation that we have done. And it's not only in Italy, it's not only in Europe, it's, to be honest, it's all over the place when we have been activating socially and digitally our brands. That is where I think is working, and that is where we will be always looking and investing our money. But the point is the success, the key of the success is a combination. I was mentioning before the Gumball experience is really when you are able to do what now, I mean, the guys which speak great English say the 360-degree activation is really a combination on the social-driven campaign, digitally embedded, but also with a sort of personal and experiential contact. When we create this click, we see in Italy, we have seen with Gumball, we saw in India, we saw in other countries that is working. So we will move more and more toward this kind of activation of the brand.
Okay. What about LATAM? Sorry, just to complete. What about the LATAM?
LATAM, I think it's the effect of two things. I think, as you know, we have changed. We have the new country manager for Brazil. And we have the new guy which runs the full region. So let me say the main effect there is people. We have great people in place, great knowledge of the market, great connection with the customer, and I think a new, more concrete and operational approach toward the region. These are the main driver behind the numbers.
Okay. Okay, I'll just give some perspective on the tariffs. I mean, the topic per se is not new. A couple of months ago, we were looking at a potentially even higher tariffs than the 10% that seems to be envisaged by the latest tweet. Let's see what will really happen in the coming weeks and months. Certainly, it's a topic that is on our enterprise risk management radar. It is something that we have contingency plans in place for, on the one side, looking at importation procedures, looking at distribution and logistics, looking at sourcing and siting, working with our suppliers, and then at the end of the day, what actions we will implement to mitigate this effect will depend on what exactly will eventually become the new regulation. So we will stay close to it.
What is the, say, time for a reaction? So if the tariffs are applied from September 1st, how fast can you react?
I think that we are able to react within approximately a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next question for today is from the line of Cedric Rossi from Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Actually, I've got two questions. The first one is on Carrera. So I think it was an impressive performance in Q2. I think it's been years that you haven't posted a double-digit growth at Carrera. What are the drivers of this rebound? So you talk a little bit of on the digital initiatives. But I have the feeling that a few years ago you tried to reposition Carrera as a more lifestyle brand, and now it seems that you are more focusing on motorsports, which used to be the DNA of Carrera. So do you think that now you feel that you have the right positioning, and thanks to a better execution, we can expect a more positive momentum on Carrera going forward? And the second question is on I don't know if you...
No, keep going.
Okay, sorry. And the second question is on the H2 outlook, so to a follow-up on Domenico's questions. I believe that you posted a 7.5% excluding the Gucci agreement. So we know that the Gucci volumes would have in H2. So do you believe that there is also a more sustainable pace of growth that you can achieve in H2? Notwithstanding the decreasing Gucci volumes.
Okay, so I will I take the question on Carrera. I think Gerd is going to answer on the on your second question. I think that on Carrera, in terms of when the where the brand stands now in terms of brand positioning, I think we have the right position, which is not only sport. I would say that, you know, our mission is drive your story. It's interpreting the sport, but not really like a sort of extreme sport. It's more like an experiential and a sort of style of living. But I think that in terms of positioning of the brand, I think that we have the right position. So we are going to stay in that position also for the year to come, because I think that consistency in the brand message is going to be one of the key elements of the success. So I think the position is right, and we are going to stay there, twisting more, trying to give this personal touch of drive your story. So be yourself in what you do. You can drive your way of living. All this in terms of positioning, I think, enriched by the collection, which I think are outstanding. Also, the collection we have presented now for September, we are getting very, very positive feedback from the main customer, will help to keep Carrera growing. And then on top of all the digital activation, digital/social activation I was referring to. So I think that now is we have the right platform, we have the right positioning, we just need to be consistent and keep investing and activating more the brand. And personally, I think that there are some regions of the world where Carrera is still not expressing the full potentiality, and we will work in the next month to exploit this region more.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And so I comment on the second question. So for the top line, our main objective this year overall is to get back to growth with our wholesale business after we have had two consecutive years of decline. The expectation that we will return to growth for the year, I think we can confirm. We are pretty pleased to see the 4% at constant exchange rates in H1. I would probably look more at the H1 number as an indicator for the second half year rather than the Q2 number, which was quite an acceleration, but benefited also a little bit by the base period in Europe. I think that what we are looking at for now is to continue the kind of trend that we have delivered in H1, also in H2, and then also into 2020, as this is also consistent with what we published for the strategic plan. Clearly, in the first half year, we've seen quite strong production agreement volumes from Kering, and you know the relationship is going very well. I'd expect in the second half year somewhat lower volumes, and therefore the 4% probably in the second half on an all-in basis should be lower, which is again also consistent with our overall guidance that we gave for the CAGR up to 2020.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it's star one to ask a question. We have a follow-up question from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead.
Sorry, but I was missing the most trivial question. So what's your view on the impact from the acquisition of Grand Vision on the business of Safilo, on the industry in general?
But obviously, is one of the elements which is going to impact the overall industry. So obviously, it's 7,000 point of sale. It's a significant add to the Luxottica retail. I think this is it. I mean, this is the new reality. And as a Safilo, we will take this reality into account moving forward. I think obviously, together with some other changes which have been happening, this is an additional disruptor force for the market, and we need to find different solution and try to design different options. That's it from my side. I mean, this is part of the life of this industry, which has been stable for quite a while, and I think now is under sort of acceleration of structural changes.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question for today is from the line of Marco Battaglio from Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question about your second half of the year, because the last three or four years have been extremely difficult to read in terms of seasonality of the business. So in the second half, you have a cost cutting which will continue. You will have less operating leverage due to the volumes of caring. So you ended H1 with a net profit of 9 million euro, more or less. Is it fair to assume that you would be able to more or less retain a break-even on an adjusted basis on a full year?
I mean, on the second half year, or let me say for the full year, when it comes to the profitability, our aim for the year for the continuing operations now was to rebuild a level of profitability more or less in line with last year, when we did have 39 million of accounting compensation to support that mid-single-digit adjusted EBITDA. The objective then was therefore to achieve a significant underlying improvement, and considering what we achieved in H1, but also the seasonality of the business, where we tendentially have higher sales and profits in the first half of the year, and also we had a very good chunk of the savings that were planned for the year materializing in H1, I think we would still remain committed to this initial objective. Clearly, it will depend very much on the sales development for the coming months. So far, we've had a good first half on Dior, for example. We just announced 3-4 weeks ago the exit, which makes it a little bit more unpredictable. Let's see what happens, but I think we would still see that kind of operating profitability as we anticipated.
So if I may follow up, then on top of this 39 million euro, if you succeed, you should not have around, if I remember well, 11, 12 million euro of losses of Solstice.
Exactly. So we do not have any more the losses of Solstice. We have recorded 9 million of losses, just the operating performance of the chain in half year one. It included 1.5 million of the costs to sell it. So 7.6 without that, we will not have that drag anymore on the company going forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Henry Hilgarth from Quero. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Just a couple of questions. The first one is on the goodwill, and I'm just trying to understand what that goodwill was tied to. I mean, from memory, I think you had about 125 million that was actually tied to the U.S. or the Americas in general, but I imagine that's mostly the U.S. So just trying to understand that. And then the other question is really around the Dior license, and maybe you could help us understand how the termination works. I mean, is it a phase out or is it an abrupt termination? And what you're doing to replace the volumes. Thank you.
Yeah, I think on the first question, so our goodwill, casually, it's an accounting artifact from a very distant past. It's something that's been there for 20 years, at the time more than 700 million, relating to some extraordinary operations that happened a very long time ago. And that amount was then allocated to the various cash generating units of the group, have been impaired successively in the past years. We still had indeed, as you said, some goodwill left on the Americas cash generating unit and some goodwill at the level of the EMEA cash generating unit. So as we looked at the semi-annual financial statements, as we looked at some of the evolution and the dynamic market context that also Angelo was mentioning, we thought as we ran the impairment test that it would be prudent to impair the remaining goodwill. This leaves us with the shareholder equity in the books of 395 million euros, which in any case is still quite above of where the market valuation is today.
Thank you. And just on the second point, sorry.
The second question was on Dior. I mean, Dior is that we have the license till this end of December 2020. So we will keep running the business as business as usual. So we are not going to have any difference in the level of investment or in the level of focus or in the level of attention. So for me, is a license which is going to be run till the last day. So I don't know if you had a special angle to that. Otherwise, for me, it's till 2020. Our salespeople, they will keep pushing Dior. They will have in all the sales activities. So there is going to be any give up till the last day in which we own and we run the license.
There's no real angle. I mean, it's just trying to understand when we were looking at the Gucci contract, there was an agreement that was terminated, and then you ended up having volumes that were no longer that weren't distribution volumes, but you still had volumes coming through. So just trying to understand whether there's a similar arrangement for Dior that means
then I missed your no. I think that in this case there is not going to be any production. There is no production agreement with Dior, so we will run and manage the license till the end of December 2020. As from January 2021, they need to produce, distribute, activate. There is not going to be any activity done by Safilo with reference to the Dior license.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, and our next question is another follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead.
My last question, a follow-up on Dior. Are you still discussing a potential repurchase of inventory at the end of the termination of the license in order to keep the market clean? So it's something that we should still expect. And second, on the cash generation, the first half, in terms of working capital, so the performance was very, very good. I'm trying to understand if there is something specific behind this trend, it is something that is sustainable. And how do you see that level maybe at year end?
Yeah, I think on the first question of Dior, I mean, I don't want to go into any contractual specifics. The way that it generally works with the licenses is that until the very end, the last day of the license, so December 31st, 2020, we can sell the product. Then, in terms of the remaining inventory, we will do the stock count. We will typically have a period in which the licensor has the right to purchase the stock. They may or they may not opt to do that. In the case of Gucci, indeed, the licensor opted to do that. And then after that, in the first half of 2021, there is a sell-off period during which Safilo can then deplete the remaining inventory that has not been purchased. With regards to the second question, I mean, what is really driving the cash flow is, on the one side, we have a positive flow from operating activity before the movement of working capital, because we have posted a solid EBITDA and we have lesser financial charges, lesser taxes paid in the period. We had a positive effect from the inventory, and we had a positive effect from the payables, but a negative effect from the trade receivables, which, however, if we look at it on a DSO basis, is quite normal because we recorded strong sales in May and in June, and so there is a lot of invoicing on the balance sheet that then will be collected in the following month. And it is similar with the payables because we have, of course, the marketing investments impacting mainly May and June period. And then I think on the other on other payables and receivables, let me say we have classified as another payable or an advance payment the $3 million that we received for the sale of Solstice at signing, which is something that is one third of the total purchase price. The rest will then be paid over the coming 12 months. But since the deal closed on the 1st of July, it was captured still as an advance payment, so it impacts positively on the working capital side. And we have made some further progress on managing actively, I think, our various credit positions on VAT, because these are all ways to liquidate a bit the balance sheet. I think for net debt, I think we closed very well at the end of half year one. What we will achieve in half year two and the full year will depend on sales profitability and the working capital dynamics in the second half. Our initial ambition for the year was to close 2019 with a net debt, always pre-IFRS 16, below the $32 million of last year, and we will continue to stick to this objective.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
If there are any further questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There appear to be no further questions coming through, sir.
Okay.
So thanks very much to all. Thanks very much to everyone.
We wish you a good summer.